I want to express my appreciation for the invitation to come to be with you at this conference. I've found it a great blessing for myself, and I know my wife has too, to be here amongst you these days. I trust God will help us as a result of what we've heard to be better ministers of the New Covenant, and that His Word will dwell richly in our hearts through faith. I want to read from Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 1 to 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. General William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. When he was an elderly man, he had been asked to come to speak to a conference of Salvation Army workers. But with advancing years, he was unable to attend a conference, and so instead he sent a message to the delegates who had gathered together to be encouraged in the work of God. His message consisted of one word. He sent them this message which said, others. In other words, the blessings we receive from being together in a conference like this are not just that we may be fed spiritually and be helped ourselves, that's important. But also that we persevere, we keep going in the Christian work that God has given to us. That blessing may overflow to others. In the passage we've read in verse 6, You notice that Paul uses a very important word where he talks of share. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Fellowship, sharing, is a key word in the New Testament. The teacher of the Word of God shares spiritual treasures. Those who are taught, also they share the blessings they've received. And the principle behind verses 6 to 10 is the principle of sowing and reaping. What we might call the law of the harvest. God has ordained that you reap what you sow. In the gospel ministry, we sow continually the word of God. If a farmer sows corn in a field, he expects to reap corn. If he sows maize, he expects to reap maize. This letter of Paul to the Galatians has described two possible fields where you can sow. What Paul calls the flesh or the sinful nature, or the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Sowing to the sinful nature produces a harvest of destruction. But sowing to the Spirit produces spiritual growth. Paul says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. In the United Kingdom, and perhaps where you live too, there are people who mock at the Bible, at the Gospel, at God. A man called Ernest Hemingway became famous for the way he would laugh and mock at God. He said in his own life that he proved that a person could do anything he wanted without having to pay any consequences. He considered the message of the Bible to be out of date, completely useless to modern men and women, and a hindrance to our pleasure and self-fulfillment. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, were to him just religious superstition with no relevance. When he mocked the Lord's Prayer, he wrote our nada, which was a Spanish word for nothing. Our nada, our nothing, who is in nada, who is in nothing. But instead of proving what he had set out to prove, that you can live without God with no consequences, his life proved the folly of mocking God. His wicked life led him into such complete hopelessness and despair that he ended his own life by putting a bullet into his head. The Bible tells us that even if not in this life, living without God, dying without God, means facing the judgment of God in the life, in the world to come. The Bible is true when it tells you, and it tells us, God is not mocked. We are to keep sowing the seed of the Word of God, even if there are people around us, like this man and his Hemingway, who mock at God. I'm saying that in your situation, however dark, however difficult, however hard it may seem, I want to encourage you to persevere, to keep going. Keep sowing the seed of the Word of God. Don't give up. In due season, at the right time, you will reap if you do not lose heart. There are seasons in the soul just as there are seasons in nature. There are times of sowing and there are times of reaping. It may be God uses you to sow in the area where God has placed you. And even another will reap. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and reminded them that he had planted and Apollos had watered the seed of the Word of God that had been sown. But who gave the increase? God gives the increase. It takes time for the seed to take root and to grow and bear fruit. And I want to look with you at some principles this morning that speak of this law of the harvest. The first principle is this: you reap only what you sow. Verses 6, 7, and 8 read like this: Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now those verses are well known as evangelistic texts, but I want to apply them particularly this morning in the life of the Christian worker. Paul using this illustration of sowing and reaping to press his point home. He's saying, since you always reap what you sow, in the spiritual realm, think of these two fields, the flesh and the spirit. Every day you have hundreds, thousands of chances to sow in one field or the other. When you go back to your field of service over the next few days, you will have to sow in one of those two fields. Every word, Every step you take, every conversation, every decision, in all that you do, you're sowing one of those two fields. What you read, who you talk to, what you listen to on the radio or television, where you surf and look on the internet, all your habits and leisure time, your secret dreams, the people that you meet and spend time with, the way you treat other Christians, the way you treat the believers who have been entrusted to your care, as you pray, as you read the Bible, the way you live in your family life as a husband and bring up your children, the way you show a desire and willingness to reach the lost with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day you make these choices to sow in the flesh field or to sow in the spirit field. Now we have seen that you sow to the flesh when you pander to it, give in to it. When you yield to the devil and temptation. Give in to anger, bitterness, or a critical spirit. Shirk your responsibilities. Lie about your actions. Dabble in looking at the wrong things on the internet, pornography. Lower the Bible standards. Compromise your convictions. Galatians describes that flesh field, the works of the flesh. In chapter 5 and verses 19 to 21, Paul describes what that flesh field is like. He says, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. That's what the flesh field is like, says Paul. In contrast, sowing to the Spirit produces quite different results. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs you, means that the fruit of the Spirit emerges in your thoughts and your words and your deeds. And Paul is saying you can't sow to the flesh field all day long and then complain when you reap a harvest of corruption. If you're bitter, angry, sour, irritable, grouchy, bossy, rude, you sow in that field all day long, you can't cancel it out with a quick prayer before you go to bed at night. What you sow, you reap, Paul says, and you reap what you sow every day. Now God is gracious. We can come to Him for cleansing, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. But Paul is urging us this morning to sow in the field of the Spirit, not in the field of the flesh. If you want to reap a harvest of God's blessing in the place where God has called you to serve Him, in that field of service, remember, you reap only what you sow. The second thing is, you reap far more than you sow. You reap only what you sow first, but second, you reap far more than you sow. Think of what we heard last night about the Church of Jesus Christ in China. As people prayed for the Church of Jesus Christ in China after so many missionaries had been expelled from that great country, they expected that the church, undergoing such fierce persecution and without teachers who had come in to help them, that the church would be weakened, perhaps even wiped out. But as God's word had been sown, what happens? It was one of the great miracles of the 20th century. That in that field of the Spirit was reaped far more than had been sown. And when the doors were opened again and people went in to see what had become of the church in China, the amazing truth that the church had multiplied and grown far more under persecution in those years than it ever had before. That's why the Bible warns on the negative side in verse 7, do not be deceived. The size of the seed does not determine the size of the harvest. Now for the unbeliever, sin always carries a high price tag. You can ignore God, you can mock God, you can think that you're getting away with sin. But God says that a day of judgment is coming. You can sow to the wind, mock God, but you reap a whirlwind. But we must remind ourselves of that truth also in Christian character. Someone has described it like this. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. God calls us together in this time of conference to remind us, keep sowing to the Spirit. And you reap the harvest of godly character. Of prayer in the Spirit. A life in harmony with God. The many blessings that come only to those whose ways please God. Or as the hymn says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You reap only what you sow. You reap far more than you sow. Thirdly, reaping requires patience and perseverance. Look at verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There are many people in the United Kingdom who grow some fruit or some vegetables in their garden as a little hobby. I, for myself, am not very keen on gardening. When my wife tells me about the need to go out and do work in the garden, I say to my wife, God threw Adam out of the garden. So I'm not going back in there. But there are people who like gardening, and they grow apples or tomatoes or flowers in the garden. But full-time farming is a hard and difficult job. It's not like growing a few tomatoes in a greenhouse. The farmer who works full-time farming for a living works hard. He starts early, he finishes late, his job lasts 52 weeks a year. And for a farmer, it seems there are no end of jobs always to be done. It's not just a hobby. It's a work that demands great patience and persistence, and to keep going even when the farmer feels bone weary and feels like giving up. I read a quotation by a man called Calvin Coolidge on the importance of patience, perseverance. He says this: nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with great talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. I think that is particularly true for the Christian worker in that field where God has called you to serve. People are unresponsive. Love them anyway. Things don't go as you planned. Keep moving forward. People forget to say thank you. Help them anyway. God doesn't do what you think he should do. Trust him anyway. You feel, as you think to that field of service where you're returning, you feel scared or fearful or daunted. Keep believing, trusting in God. Your friends criticize you. Do what is right anyway. Remember the Savior who suffered such scorn from men. It may be this morning you even feel like quitting. It is always too soon to quit. Reaping requires patience and perseverance. Keep on sowing if it's sowing with tears. In the end, you will rejoice when the harvest finally comes in. So you reap only what you sow. Then secondly, you reap far more than you sow. Then thirdly, reaping requires patience and persistence. Fourthly, reaping means seizing the opportunity. Look at verse 10 again. Therefore, as we have opportunity, Paul says. The word opportunity comes from the same root word as time. There are moments in your serving of God when a door of opportunity opens before you. To break new ground with the gospel. And you have the choice to make. Will you go through the door of opportunity, or will you hesitate until it closes? You have an opportunity to give a word of encouragement to a brother in the gospel who feels the going hard. To pick up the telephone, send an email, write a letter. Take the opportunity. God prompts you by the Holy Spirit. An opportunity arises to visit someone who's sick, to comfort someone who's bereaved, to visit a believer who feels cast down, to speak a word of challenge to a Christian who has backslidden, to put your arm around a Christian and pray with him. Opportunities that open for you in serving Jesus Christ. But the door of opportunity may not stay open forever. Seize the opportunity. I found for myself that when I've not taken an opportunity, when I felt prompted to go and visit someone, particularly in the area of the sick and the dying, I've always felt bad about it afterwards. Take the opportunity, Paul says. There are days, there are doors and days of opportunity in reaping for Jesus Christ. A sculptor was asked once to sculpt a statue describing opportunity. And the sculptor sculpted a man with hair covering part of his face, covering his eyes. and wings on each foot. And someone asked, why on this sculpture called Opportunity, why is the man's face hidden by some of his hair over his eyes? And the sculptor said, because men seldom see opportunity when opportunity comes to them. Why have you put wings on his feet? Because, said the sculptor, when opportunity is gone, when he departs, he can't be overtaken. As you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful thing is that God does open to you doors of opportunity to help someone in need, to bring a message from the Bible to someone who is confused, to pray and to intercede for someone, take a meal to someone who's hungry, to help the hurting, to restore the fallen, to share the gospel. There's a great endless list of doors of opportunity. Reaping involves seizing the opportunity. The final thing about reaping that Paul describes here is that he says, don't forget to sow with those closest to you. Our friend from Myanmar last night spoke about his family devotions. Why are family devotions important? And why is it that sometimes we forget with those closest to us to sow that seed of the Word of God? You see, the Bible challenges us, it reminds us, don't forget to sow amongst those who are closest to you. Therefore, as we have opportunity, verse 10 says, let us do good to all. Yes, let's sow the seed far and wide, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Yes, we want to reach out with the gospel to those who have never heard. And may God give us many doors of opportunity to do that in the days ahead. When I go back to Sheffield in the next few weeks, a team of people from the church and from London who are coming to help us are going to seek to go out onto the streets of the city, inviting people to study the Bible. There's a Bible study called Christianity Explained. It seeks to answer with six Bible studies, six questions. Who is Jesus? Why did he die on the cross? Did he really rise from the dead? What is grace? What is repentance? What is faith? And God may give us opportunities to sow that seed amongst people who have come from all over the world, some of them, to study in Sheffield in the United Kingdom. and people from various parts of the world, including China, have heard the word of God through those Bible studies, and some have been converted and come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul also says, there's another way that we mustn't forget where we should sow the seed. Those people where you are, those people around you, sometimes our own immediate families, our own immediate next door neighbors, our own immediate friends, those already in the Church of Jesus Christ, but who God prompts you to go and speak to that believer who's in the church. Don't forget, says Paul, sow the seed there too. But this letter of Paul to the Galatians, as we've thought about what it means to walk on this path with Jesus Christ, avoiding the dangers of legalism on the one hand, rules and regulations will never put a person right before God. And our motive for obeying God, for loving Jesus Christ and keeping his commandments, it's not a spirit of legalism, rule keeping. It's keeping and obeying the law of God out of a heart that loves God and relying on the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Avoiding legalism on the one hand, and then also avoiding antinomianism, you remember that word? On the other hand, that idea that says there are no rules for the Christian. Live as you like. In both those dangerous areas, don't sow to the flesh, Paul is saying. Keep sowing to the Spirit. And it may be that God brings you to this conference this morning to remind you, if you have felt disheartened in recent days, in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. Don't quit, Paul is saying to you. The Bible says to you, the Spirit says to you, don't quit, keep sowing. We'll pray together. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the challenge and the encouragement of your word. We remind ourselves of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the great high priest of our profession, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And as we seek to follow that Saviour, we pray, Lord, that you will keep us sowing the seed of the Word of God. We pray particularly, Lord, this morning for any who feel discouraged in the work, that you will keep us all sowing, sowing in the field of the Spirit. Cleanse and forgive and keep us from sowing in the field of the flesh. And we thank you for the promise of your word that those who sow in tears will one day reap in joy. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.